Please be seated. So let me ask you a question to begin with. Do you know what the Boy Scout motto is? Be prepared? That's right, and that's me. Not to brag or anything, but I always like to plan ahead. And you can ask Pastor David, but I do take pride in being organized. And I like to analyze, and sometimes I overanalyze. And I write daily to-do lists for Pastor David and for myself, and I plan meals for the week, and I write a shopping list according to what's on sale. And I like to consider every possible scenario. Like, we travel, I'm ready for the sunshine, but I'm also ready for the rain. Pastor David thinks it's quite ridiculous that I need 4 suitcases for a 3-day-long trip, but come on. You never know when you're going to need a pair of rainbows, or flip-flops, as he calls them. And you never know when you need a pair of rain boots. And let me tell you, I like taking pictures, and dock shoes look cute in the pictures. And then my kid is still in diapers. So accidents happen. And when you travel with the kids, you gotta take their lovies, and you gotta take their coloring books, and you gotta take their markers and toys and the food. Actually, a whole bunch of food. Because there is nothing as maddening is when you drive for 14 hours and your spawns of creation are screaming their head off for the entire time. I'm a mother. Of course, I'm always prepared. Except when I'm not. Because how can you plan for a bad hair day? And I'm not talking about my hair, right, Pastor David? Or when my toddler keeps me awake at night, you know, all of my well-thought-out plans usually go out of the window. Life happens. Even the scriptures tell us that, and things don't always go as intended. And we hear that out of all people, the grooms get delayed, and the oil on the lamps runs dry, and the doors get shut in your face, in times and at places where you wouldn't expect. Well, beloveds, this is the gospel of the Lord. And though the gospel may not sound much like the good news to you or to me, this morning we hear it loud and clear. God's kingdom is like 10 virgins, or 10 bridesmaids, if you want, and 5 of these bridesmaids are rather silly, or foolish, as the scripture says. And laugh it up right now, because didn't these bridesmaids have one job to do? To welcome the groom? Well, they failed their one job, and the consequences are dire. What a confusing scene we're left with. And I must admit, I'm not a huge fan of this parable. And as my 5-year-old would say to me, but Mom, you know, blunt as can be, but Mom, what happened to sharing? Because sharing is? Sharing is caring. And those wise virgins, you know, the cunning virgins, if we want to be precise with the translation, wouldn't you say that they provide us with a rather problematic example to follow? After all, you know, self-interest over group solidarity is not what we want to teach our children or our grandchildren. Yet oftentimes, you know, when our Lord Jesus Christ instructs us, he shakes things up and he turns everything on its head simply to make a point. And to drive it home, and to remind us over and over again what it is that truly matters. And right here and right now, the message is clear. Be prepared. Be prepared because the Son of Man Or the master who gave out the talents for us to invest and capitalize? Or the bridegroom of today's lectionary reading? Or the king who will separate the goats from the sheep? Or our Savior Jesus, or whatever else you want to call the Lord? He is coming. And he is coming like a thief in the middle of the night. To quote the same gospel nonetheless, if you have your pew Bibles, go to Matthew chapter 24. The Son of Man is coming like a thief in the middle of the night. And if you really get into this gospel, you will probably notice that there is quite a persistent effort here to divide the world into two. There are trees that bear fruit, and there are thorns and thistles, and there are goats, and there are sheep. There are houses built on sand, and houses built on a rock. There are tares, and there is wheat. And there are bridesmaids that are shrewd, and those who are not. But really, when you think about it, and I mean really think about it, doesn't this sound kind of familiar? Because how many times do we have this tendency to think and to believe that life is all or nothing, black and white, insiders and outsiders, those who belong and those who don't. Or maybe 100% happiness, you know, that picture-perfect illusion that our society keeps striving for. Or then, on the other hand, complete misery. Or you know those times when the bubble bursts and the picture-perfect falls apart right in front of our eyes. Still, I don't think that's the point of this parable. Maybe because I refuse to believe in the God who would shut the doors in your face, or maybe in my face, or someone else's face just because we're ill-prepared. But at the same time, I'm sure that our Lord Jesus Christ may be lighting some fire under us, because we get so comfortable in our lives that we make a golden calf out of our comfort zone. Who doesn't like to be content and happy? I do. And you see, eat, drink, and be merry may sound like a sweet deal, but if life and ministry has taught me anything, it's that comfort as an idol, comfort as a golden calf, it's not rooted in our need, but it's rooted in our want. And we want this right now. And if not right now, then at least as soon as possible. Instant gratification. That's where it all comes from. And it almost always goes hand in hand with taking things for granted. And even taking life for granted. And even taking our Lord God's blessings for granted. And I'm not trying to say that the life in waiting is not challenging, because it really is. But as we pray, and as we get real with God, and as we study God's word, we train our hearts to see that our lives have indeed become comfortable and complacent, and that at times our ministries are quite predictable. And even out of touch with God's Spirit. And our churches, you know, have become sidetracked with accomplishments and with numbers and with the good name and with prosperity. How unwise of us. Kind of like those five silly girls at the wedding who didn't check their oil for the supply. Or that guy in another parable who partied off the last little bit of his decency just because his boss was delayed. Or that coward who didn't even try, he just dug a hole and hid his one talent. We're going to be talking about those parables in the next couple of weeks. But the message of all of these parables remain clear, and that's to be prepared. Because just like the bridegroom of today's lectionary reading, Jesus is coming to us, and let me tell you, he isn't coming to us according to our calendar. And he is not coming to us in line with our expectations. And he certainly is not coming to us on our terms either. I mean, we're so used to things the way they are that we no longer seem to be prepared for God's kingdom to be more, to be a lot more than what we see right now. But Jesus comes along and he says, imagine. Imagine the greatest thing that you believe I can do in your life. Imagine the greatest thing that you believe I can do in your church. And I can totally top that, he says. I can do so much more than that. Beloveds, no matter how dire are our circumstances, or even how dark it gets out there, our Savior Jesus can do so much more than what we have envisioned or even prepared for. He can do so much more than that. And I have a confession to make here, okay? Again, I know. But I had been with those foolish before whose lambs have run out. And I remember the times when I was like, yeah, sure, I want to be part of God's thing. But really, I didn't do that much about it. Spiritually said, I just kind of kept sitting with my hands folded in my lap, fully focused on my plans and on my goals and on my busy life. And truthfully, I waited for a miracle to happen without me having to move a finger. I can confess that I was kind of a lazy Christian because my faith was lazy. I was not really a disciple of Jesus Christ. I was not his follower. Because to follow Jesus, we got to rise and we got to shine and we got to give God the glory. And guess what? We give God the glory every time that we work for justice. And we give God the glory every time we pray for one another. And we give God the glory every time we build each other up, every time we visit the sick, every time we bear each other's burdens. And we give God the glory every time we reach out beyond ourselves, every time we reach out with care and in friendliness. When we forgive, and when we create opportunities to bring people together instead of driving them apart, that's when we give God the glory. And that's when we let our light shine so that others can see our good works and so that others can see God's grace in us. That's when we become the beacon of light for our Lord. Now back to those bridesmaids. But to say that those shrewd ones were the beacon of light, I think that is a bit of an overstatement. Truthfully, what strikes me about all of these ten ladies, you know, wise and foolish alike, it's their fear. It's their fear of insufficiency. It's their mindset of scarcity and shortage. It's their lack of trust in the bridegroom. And it strikes me precisely because we're so familiar with it, the balance leftover kind of lifestyle. It's what we see on the news. It's what we hear in commercials. It's what we witness to day after day as our society teaches us that the bigger is always better and more satisfying. And as long as we make the news or make the name for ourselves or show the results or keep up with the Joneses, we believe we have lived our lives to the fullest. And I didn't mean to get on the tangent here, but isn't there so much more to life than that? Our Lord Jesus, He died on a cross to afford us forgiveness. He died on a cross to afford us a life beyond our broken selves. He died on a cross to afford us the life of abundance, far greater than what all the wealth of the world can buy. And you know what happens after he died, right? He was buried in a tomb, and then there was this large stone that was rolled shut across it. But not even that stone could have contained Jesus in the tomb, because the love that Jesus has for us is the power of God, the power of God for our salvation, the power that's far greater than death, that's greater than the door shut in your face, that's greater than rejection and all our limitations, greater than scarcity. And this is the thing that we're invited to keep before us this day and every day. See, we're living in a time when fear and when negativity abound, as sad as it is to admit out loud. And we hear the voices, you know, from the business world and from the political world and even the church, and those voices tell us over and over again that we're not safe and that the future holds only a little hope. And those voices tell us that death is coming to us and that nothing is strong enough to stop it. But really, why would we think that God would offer us anything less than life? Don't we believe in the God who is powerful enough to overcome death? And the God who is powerful enough to roll the stone away, to open the doors that were shut in our faces, to birth something totally new and totally awesome right here in this place? Beloveds, we may have been wise, and we may have been foolish. We may have built our foundation on a rock or on sand. We may have been with the sheep and we may have been with the goats. We may have been with the tares or the wheat, prepared and unprepared. We may have had extra oil, or maybe not. The good news is that neither of this affords us salvation. Jesus does. Jesus does when he gives his life on a cross for all of us. And then when he bursts forth into new life, you know, risen from death. So it's him alone who gives us what we need to rise and to shine and to give glory to God's holy name. And to know this, to believe this, to trust this, to live this, it's more than enough to be prepared. So what will the people of God respond? It's not good enough. What will the people of God respond?
Amen.
Amen. Let's be the beacon of light for the Lord in our community. Amen. Let's rise and shine and give God the glory. Thanks be to God.